Greg is going to come up now and he's going to introduce our new teaching. We're going to be going through the book of Acts, and so it's going to be an exciting time for the church. I'll pray for you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Doug. Thank you for his stand in this church. Thank you that he has been such a leading light in this church, and we just ask you to minister through him today. Encourage him and help him to speak the word that you have put on his heart, Lord. Amen.
I'm just going to move this up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Harvey, and morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Yeah, so as Harvey said, we are getting into a new series through the book of Acts. So we're going to be starting with the first few verses in Acts today. But before we get there, I just want to reflect on what God has been saying to our church. And I think what's amazing to me always is that God speaks, and even through very many different people. And as I was preparing, I was looking back to what was said in the last 2 weeks. And if you remember, Stu spoke about 2 weeks ago, and he talked to us about true worship. Do you remember that, those that were here? And what he said is that true worship means putting God first. That's actually the heart of it. It's putting God first in your life. But the reality, though, is that things can easily get in the way. We can very easily have other things that are the priority in our lives rather than God. So he encouraged us to put God first. And then any of you that haven't seen a great demonstration that'll stick in your mind, those that were here last week in Rich put a big net over Mecca. Do you remember that? That was quite a striking image of how sin can hold us back. And so he was saying, guys, make sure this is not you. And he asked us, is there sin that's holding you back? And he also had, if you remember, Mecca also had to pick up that box. Do you remember that box? And it had there was a box with a whole lot of weights in it. And Mickey had to pick up these weights and then go around the church with these weights in his hands. And the reminder was that those weights are like the worries of life that we carry with us. And the things that we do that distract us from the Lord. So instead of running quickly into the things and the purposes of God and really making a difference for him, we land up kind of just limping along sometimes. And God's plan and his purpose is not for that. God's plan and purpose is so much more than that for us. And so just for some time now, if you'll remember, we really appreciate the prophetic pictures that God gives us. And we take those seriously as a church. And one prophetic picture that we had was a heart with a blockage in it. So that was the kind of picture. And we received this probably about a year ago, and it was just a warning to our church just to say, let's make sure that we are not people where our relationship and the flow of the Spirit through us is blocked in different ways. And we can have blockages in our spiritual hearts in a way through a whole lot of different ways. Sin is one. If we continue to do things that we know God is calling us not to do, and we continue and we don't take action, it's like we're trying to follow Jesus with a blockage in our hearts. Worry can also be a thing. Busyness, so many different ways that we can get busy. Different priorities, putting those ahead of God. And they really restrict the flow of God's life in us. So we've seen that picture, and we've heard the last 2 weeks a reminder, don't walk with a net over your head. Don't walk with weights in your hands. And so the encouragement is that God's asking us, he's inviting us into freedom. He's inviting each of us into freedom. But the question is, what are we going to do about that? Are we just going to say, well, those were good preachers, that was interesting to hear, or are we going to move into a place to say, you know what, God, I don't want to walk around like this. I don't want to walk around with a heart that is not fully aligned with your plans and your purposes. So as I preach today, I just want to ask each of you to just consider that. Is there anything that God is highlighting for you this morning where there's a blockage in your heart? You know, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him point out something in your heart that is maybe needs to be unblocked, because he wants his life to flow through us and through us to the people around us, to be able to love others well. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this: "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." And that's that picture of Micah last week with the net around him. Really, let that not be us, church. And it can so easily be us. It's so easy just to hear, "You've got a net over your head," and keep walking. Let that not be us today. So for some of you, maybe you're struggling with things like alcohol or gambling, pornography, drugs. There's so many different things that grab us in this world. The reality is they do. They so easily grab us. And it requires humility and courage to bring those things into the light. It really does. It's very easy to just keep it and say, "Well, you know, I've got something that I'm struggling with, but actually I'm too embarrassed to share it with anyone, or I may be too proud to share it with anyone." And God encourages us to bring those things into the light. It doesn't mean coming up to the front of the church and saying, "This is my problem." But the reality is we all have sin. We all have problems. But what he does encourage us to do is to confess our sin to one another. So find someone that you can trust. Speak to them about it and let them walk a journey with you. A journey of healing. And that can happen. God can set us free. So I would encourage you to really do that. And for maybe others of you in the room today, maybe you just feel like God's been crowded out. There's not a sin or something, but actually God is like here. He's peripheral to you. The decisions you make, the way you live, it's kind of, you know about God, but he's not central to your decision making. And God really wants to be at the center of our choices. He wants to be at the center of the way we live. So I'd encourage you, if that's you, if God's out there, ask God to be closer. Draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. That's what he promises us. Just alongside that picture of a blocked heart, he gave us another picture, which I think is just such a contrast, is this picture of Vic Falls. Who of you have been to Vic Falls? Okay, I know the Heartbigs went there a while ago and there was hardly any water. Was that right? I don't know if it was you. I know someone went there and there was like hardly any water. A few years back, there was hardly any water because there was a drought. But when that river pumps, it is an amazing sight. And it was just a reminder again, is that actually there are choices that we can make, whether we see God's Spirit working through us or whether we land up having just a trickle flowing through us to the people around us. And it starts with our hearts. If our hearts are open to the Lord and we're willing to address the sins that hold us back, we will experience God's Spirit flowing through us. But if we are saying, "God, you know, actually I don't want to deal with this stuff," then we're going to be like a dry river. Ourselves, we're not going to feel God's Spirit at work in us. Also, the people around us won't experience God working in and through us and being blessed by that. So church, let's be like that river. That's what God calls his church to be, right? He calls us to be a light of the world. He wants us, through his Spirit, he wants us to reach this community and make a real difference. He wants our families to be a light and a place of refuge for others. So we really believe that God is actually calling us to a season of acceleration into greater effectiveness and fullness. Okay, and that means going from a place that we are to something different, like going from blocked hearts to places where God's Spirit flows. And so Rich reminded us of that last week. And Harvey spoke about us going to Hole in the Wall where elders meet together just to spend time in prayer. And we had a word there as well that we felt, or the word for our church was that God wants us to shift gear. And I got to say, when we received that word, it was like, "What do you mean, Lord? Tony and Lalana have just left. Like, the last thing we feel like doing is accelerating into anything. You know, surely we can just slow down now and kind of catch our breath." But the idea of changing gear is going from one gear up into another. And there is a bit of a wait in between, in a sense. So we feel that we're in a season, a little bit of a season where we're waiting. But we really are wanting to trust God for more, for us as a community. And so I would encourage you, each of you, just to pray for that acceleration in our church, that our influence here in Hilton would grow. Do we want that, church? Do you want to be a church of real influence? Do you want people, do you want more people to be here on Sunday? Maybe do we want to have two services in time? Hey, imagine this this building filled twice in a Sunday rather than once. Wouldn't that be wonderful, actually, for God's kingdom? So we really believe that something of that is what God's calling us to. An acceleration, something different into the future. And I invite you just to pray with us about what that looks like. And let's really trust that God's kingdom would come here with us. So we really sense that there is this new season, and we need to prepare ourselves. And it's that's why I think Acts just feels like such a good transition for us at this stage. So I think if we can go to the next slide there, we really believe it's time to act. It's time to act. And it is a play on the name of the book that we're studying, because we're going to be going through Acts, if you didn't realize already. But it's also a time and a call to respond. I really want you guys to not leave today just having God put his finger on your heart and saying, I want you to act on this thing, and then leave the building and saying, well, I didn't act on it. So as I continue to bring the message today, please ask God, is there something that you want me to act on today? And let's make sure that we deal honestly with the blocks in our hearts. So as the book of Acts begins, the disciples are standing between two seasons, right? So for them, they'd been spending time with Jesus. They'd experienced this amazing ministry of Jesus with them. And they'd recently just had, they'd gone through the trauma of losing Jesus. Then suddenly he was alive again. He was with them, and he started speaking to them about the season that was ahead. And they were shocked because they expected something totally different to what Jesus was promising. So before we go into Acts, I want us to go back to the end of Luke and just see where we ended up. Where did we end up in the last season? Our last season was Luke. Let's go there, and then we'll jump into Acts after that. So we'll read from Luke 24, verse 44-49. So after rising from the dead, Jesus appears to his disciples. And this is what he has to say. When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. And he says, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So these were Jesus' closing words before he landed up ascending to heaven. And I'd like to quickly walk through three P's that take us directly into Acts that come from this section. The first was the price. Price was paid. The price was paid. So Jesus suffered and he died, and through him sin was dealt with, and forgiveness and relationship was restored to God. So that's what was done. That was done. It was paid. It was finished. Jesus had paid the price for sin to be forgiven. But Jesus didn't end there. He then speaks about a new purpose, right? He says that what his desire is that there will be repentance and forgiveness for all nations. That was his purpose. That it wouldn't just be that his disciples would know forgiveness. it would be that actually the whole world would be able to experience what it means to be forgiven and to be in, and to be welcomed into a relationship with God. So the price was paid. His purpose was then established for people to know about Jesus. And then there was a third P, is the promise was given. Jesus didn't send them out in their own strength to now tell all the people about him and what is and his promises. But what he did is he promised to send the Holy Spirit. Okay, he promised to send the Holy Spirit. He said that they were to remain in the city until they received the power from heaven. So the purpose, that's spreading the message, and the promise of the Holy Spirit come together. Can you see that? It's not just, here's the purpose, guys, go for it. You can do it on your own strength. He says, yes, I've been training you for 3 years. You've been with me. I've got a purpose, but that's not enough. You actually need the Spirit to be able to take you and allow you to fulfill the purpose that I have for you. All right, so that's where we ended in Luke. Let's now go to Acts. We're going to be reading from Acts 1 to 11 this morning. Okay, just a reminder for you that maybe don't know, Acts is written by the same author as Luke. It was Luke. And so he was writing to this guy, Theophilus, who wanted a real accurate account of what was going on. So this is a continuation, essentially, of Luke. So he writes, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." There's a promise. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," the promise. "And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." All right, so this series, which I'm entitling "It's Time to Act," might seem a little bit strange because Jesus' first words to his followers were what? Wait. Okay, but what I want to encourage you is that actually in the waiting, there's something that we need to do. In the waiting, we need to get our hearts right. So that's how I started my message today. We need to get our hearts right. So for each of us, as we wait, it's not about doing nothing. We first need to be obedient and following what God has pointed out in us. So in the last few weeks, as you've been here, and as God has put a finger on some area of your life, let's make sure we act today to bring that to the Lord and ask him just to free our hearts from whatever that is. So what Jesus is not calling us to do is just to become busier and get going with stuff immediately. He wants us to obediently respond and to open our hearts to him before we start his work, in a sense. All right, so Acts 1 begins with an important word. Luke's gospel recorded everything that Jesus began to do and teach. You remember that? It's one of the first verses. Jesus began to do and teach. Acts tells us how the risen and ascended Jesus continued his work through the Holy Spirit and his people. It's not primarily the apostles' achievement. It's a continued story of Jesus at work. So Jesus began, but that was just the start. The idea was that then through his Spirit, it would spread to the entire world, and it continues to do that today. So as we go through Acts, we're not just going to be looking at church history. It is church history in many ways, but we're going to be discovering what Jesus still desires to do and the people through whom he chooses to work. And that's normal people. The disciples were very normal, funny guys. Some of them were fishermen. I know there are a few of us that align with that. But it was normal people that Jesus was working through, that his Spirit was working through in Acts. It wasn't like these amazing dudes. It was actually normal people. And God wants to use normal people today as well as we follow him. As we go on through some of those verses, the disciples then ask Jesus this. They say, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Like, I read that and I thought, like, what on earth? I'm going to read that again. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Like, these guys were so off. They were, weren't they? I mean, like, these guys had spent 3 years with Jesus. And now they're asking, they're like, this is, now it's time, right? Now you're going to free Israel. So like, they're still thinking it's about a physical kind of world, that Jesus was going to set Israel free, he was going to kick Rome out of their place, and Israel would have their place back. But the reality is that their vision was so narrow. They were just thinking about Israel. They were just thinking about themselves. And I think our vision can also be too narrow. We can also just, when we're thinking about Jesus, we can think about ourselves. What is it that we want? What is it that I want from Jesus? Jesus' vision was much broader than that. His vision was to the nations, right? And I think I would just encourage you as well that Jesus' vision for you is to love you, absolutely. It is for your family, absolutely. But it's also for our community. It's for those that we teach. It's for those we interact with at work. It's for people in Hilton as well. So I think like the disciples, you also need to ask Jesus to open our eyes to better fully understand what his purpose is for us and to ask him to lead us into that place as well. Then Jesus said that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them and that they would be his witnesses. And I think the songs that Stephen led us with this morning, we're all focused about the Holy Spirit. And it was just such a good reminder that actually it's because of the Holy Spirit that and his work in us that we can change. And so a lot of the book of Acts as we start is going to be seeing how the Holy Spirit takes normal people and just does amazing things. And so I would really just ask us all just to pray that God would do amazing things through us as we trust in his Holy Spirit to work in and through us. So before God sent his people, he needed to fill his people. So the disciples waited for God, and we'll find out that they received the Spirit, they became these bold witnessing community, and just God absolutely transformed the world because of that. So the reality is that like them, we can't fulfill a God-given purpose without Spirit-given power. And I think for many of us in this room, there might be reasons why you might even feel a bit scared of the Holy Spirit. I know some of you are from quite conservative backgrounds maybe, or you've seen things where now the Holy Spirit, there's someone who's lying on the floor. There can be quite interesting expressions among churches around what the Holy Spirit looks like. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through his church. So I think one of the blockages could be that actually we don't want the Holy Spirit. We don't feel that we want the Spirit to work through us. Maybe we are reticent to have the Holy Spirit give us gifts. So I want to also ask you if you are someone who's struggling with this, let God speak to you through the season. bring those anxieties before God and say, Lord, won't you shape my heart? Holy Spirit, I want to experience you. We all need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be flowing through us. So if you're feeling anxious about that, I would ask you, just ask Jesus just to reveal more about what is it? What is your Holy Spirit? And help me to be open to receive that. We all really need to receive that gift. So Jesus said that there would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And, you know, as we were thinking through Acts, I chatted with Stephen. He's really just such a blessing to us as we start preparing different preachers. We spend time with him. And one of the amazing pictures we see is that the beginning of Acts starts off with the disciples in Jerusalem. They're kind of like huddled together in their place where they're comfortable. And then we see people starting to move. It goes from, people start going from Jerusalem, then the disciples start going into Judea, and then the apostle Paul comes and kind of the whole world is just blown open. And so that's an amazing pattern that we're going to see in Acts. And I'm trusting that as God's life flows through us, that our influence here will grow as well. Starting with Hilton and our families, let's pray for that. That we really see a work of God in and through us and this church. And I think it's amazing that next week, this coming week, we're going to have Simply Jesus here in Hilton. When is the last time we had an event like that, church? I mean, you hear about like tent missions and stuff that used to happen 50 years ago, 30 years ago, right? But there's a real opportunity in Hilton this week for us to invite people that don't know Jesus to Grace College and they can hear. So let's trust that that's also going to be starting to stir up something in Hilton. That people that don't know Jesus will get to know Jesus this week. So let's be part of that. We can choose to be home and be comfortable, or we can choose to take a risk and speak to someone that doesn't know Jesus and say, come on, come join me. So I'd encourage you to do that as well this week, church. Okay, final picture for today, and one that many of you have seen before, right? So it's a picture of beautiful boats doing exactly what they are not meant to do. Boats on a shore is a great place for them to be parked, maybe where there's a storm, but boats are meant to be out on the water, right? That's what they're designed for. And for each of us as well, the call is to take our boats. They're going to be very different for each of us, but put it out in the water. Just ask Jesus to take us and show us what is it that he's calling us to do. So I really believe, church, it's time for us to act. It really is time for us to act. It's time to get in those boats. It might be a little boat by just speaking to one person at work that you know doesn't know Jesus. That might be your boat. It might be a family next door that you've never interacted with, but you wanted to. It could be a small thing, but if we each start taking our little boats, imagine the influence that could have in our community. All right, so I think as I draw the sermon today to a close, I want to just reflect on why we believe it's important for us to go through the book of Acts now as a church. First of all, I'd like to suggest that the work of Jesus isn't finished, right? It's not finished. Jesus still chooses to work through ordinary people like us. The disciples were ordinary people and did amazing things, and we're ordinary people. Let's trust for Jesus to do amazing things. He's established a purpose that we cannot fulfill in our own strength. And there's a promise of the Holy Spirit, and that's still for his people here today and for us today. So what I'd like to do as I end is I would like to really encourage you, if there's something in your heart that God has put his finger on, and you know that there's a blockage in your heart, it could be anything, I'm not going to ask you what it is, but if there is a blockage in your heart and you want Jesus to help unblock that thing, it could be sin, it could be business, it could be anything, but if you feel that God has been saying to you, there's something that you need to deal with me, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? So can you guys, if there's anyone here that feels that there's a blockage in your heart and you want Jesus to set you free from that, can I ask you to stand? And then we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, you just see each of our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, our desire is for you to work fully through us. Lord, our desire is to have hearts that are open to receive your Spirit, to bring the forgiveness and the healing that we need. So Lord, I just want to pray for each of the people here this morning that are feeling like there's some blockage in their hearts, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just pray that by your Spirit you would unblock whatever that is, Father. Lord Jesus, if it's some sin that is kind of getting in the way and causing them to stumble, Lord, I just pray for courage that they would be able to speak to someone. And that, Lord, I just pray that you would give them what they need to be able to overcome any sin or addiction. I thank you that you're a God that does bring freedom. You're not a God that wants us to stay trapped. You are a God who can give us freedom in our lives. And Father, if there are other things that are weighing people down, whether it's grief or whatever it might be, busyness or focus on other things, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would unblock that in their hearts as well. And Lord, we ask for a real outpouring of your Spirit in this church in the weeks ahead, that we would really experience your Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And Jesus, we want to pray that we would accelerate as a church into all your purposes. And Lord, we know that that starts with each of us. So I pray, Lord, for every person in this church, Lord Jesus, that you would show us what it means to accelerate into the things that you've planned for us. We pray for lots of new boats launched, Lord Jesus. We pray for lots of new people coming to know you. So we thank you for this time this morning, Lord Jesus. Won't you just work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.